In a moment, we're going to be speaking to the City of Joburg Speaker, Nonceba Molwele. She came into this position as Vasco da Gama was essentially moved out in a motion of no confidence. It's been a bit of a controversial issue, as you know. You may remember that last Thursday, Democratic Alliance members walked out of that Joburg Council sitting. They said they didn't want to be presided over by Nonceba Molwele because she's an illegitimate speaker. But in any event, she is in the position, and we thought we would have a conversation with her to get a sense of what she's going to do in regard to serving Joburg residents, even though her role is currently being questioned by the opposition. Nonceba Molwele, good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us on Afternoon Drive. So, I mean, you've been put in this position, first of all, which is a very responsible position indeed, because much is expected of you from the City of Joburg's residents. How do you feel about the fact that you are taking over the reins at a time when your governance is being questioned, your legitimacy is being questioned as the Speaker of the Council?
Good afternoon, Joanne, and good afternoon to the listeners. Yes, Joanne, it is very unfortunate that my legitimacy has been questioned as the Speaker of Council. However, I was elected according to the rules of Council as well as according to the Structures Act. A motion of no confidence was passed for the previous speaker, and I was elected the following 2 weeks after that. I was elected a speaker, and I was elected by majority of councillors from different parties who are present in council. Remember, there's a guidance that guides the election of a speaker because it is legislated. So I was elected officially and legally as a speaker of council. So it's very unfortunate that on the first council meeting, Joanne, which was convened by the very same speaker that some councillors are claiming to be illegitimate, and they attended that meeting, and they ended up saying that the speaker is illegitimate.
All right. So let's move on, because we are a little bit short of time. Let's move on to what you have called your 9 priorities, areas that you want to look at in great detail in the next 18 months. And tell me about this first one. You want all council business tracked, and you want the resolutions register sorted out. What does that entail, Nonceba?
Yes, council takes resolutions, and many a times those resolutions are not followed up on implementation, on whether they have been implemented. If not implemented, what are the reasons, so that we can feedback to the communities, because those resolutions are taken on behalf of the communities. So we're saying we need to cut down on what council have resolved and what has been implemented, and if not, why.
All right. Tell me about this issue of you're wanting responsive public representatives, because that's not a lot. We haven't seen a lot of that in the last few months. We've seen so much bickering between the parties that the needs of the city have largely gone unnoticed.
Certainly, Joanne. One of the responsibilities of the speaker is to support councillors, and it is also to make sure that councillors are responsive and to the communities they have elected them. We have a system in council where councillors give reports on their interaction with their communities. We have been lacking in doing monitoring in that regard, and also evaluation to evaluate the performance of councillors within the communities. So we're saying we are going to hold our councillors responsible by using that tool which is existing within council for councillors to report quarterly on their meetings that they've been holding with the communities, and issues raised by the communities through councillors.
Give me a sense of this. You're asking for community-based planning. How do you intend to go about that?
We are about to begin public communication in relation to IDP. We're saying IDP starts at a ward level. Community-based planning, because we cannot plan for the communities without them. So community-based planning, it means at a ward level, councillors should hold meetings with their communities and get a mandate and issues that are raised by communities and priorities of what communities prioritize to have, so that we don't have a situation, Joanne, where we build a school and yet the community wanted a library, or we build a hall and communities wanted something else. We need to go at a ward-based level so that the planning begins there. And from there, we then have regional IDPs, which is legislated as well. And after the regional IDPs, we then pass budget as council. And we are saying after passing the budget, we need to go back to the communities and say, based on the IDP, the interaction we had, this is the budget the city has passed, and these are the things at a ward-based level that this budget would be able to implement.
I see that your next point actually plays into this, because you say that you are aiming to build functional ward committees. But I think many people are on that level, many residents on that level who interact with their ward councillors know that, that many of these people are unqualified for their jobs. They're uninterested in them. They're not really playing the roles they should be in terms of allowing the community members' voices to be heard.
Yes, certainly. That is why we are saying we want to have functional ward committees. The word functional is put there purposely because currently in some instances we do have ward committees, but they are non-functional because they are not necessarily representing their sectors. The law on ward committees says to be a ward committee member, you need to be representing a sector so that you are able to advise a councillor on the issues relating to that sector. So currently, in some areas, not everywhere, we have people who are not necessarily coming from any sector. So as a result, they are non-functional because they don't report back to any sector, even if they do attend meetings that are chaired by the ward councillor. So which then does not serve the purpose that the ward committees are meant for.
I'm going to jump ahead to the issue of councillor support, because you may have councillors, you know, here and there who are quite prepared to do their jobs to the best of their abilities, but don't appear to have the support of the party and other officials above them. How are you going to change that?
Yes, it's the responsibility of the speaker as well. It's about supporting councillors. It's about making sure that councillors do have tools of trade so that they are able to perform their duties. I have already started visiting councillors' offices. Last week, Friday, I was at Region G. I went to councillors in Region G, which is the Orange Farm, Porky, Annadale. And I had a conversation with the councillors there. Councillors, sometimes they do have offices, but tools of trade they don't have. Maybe they have a printer which is non-functional, which then becomes difficult for a councillor to call a public meeting. So the support that I'm talking about is that kind of support. And also support when councillors have problems. Like sometimes you have protests in the ward, and only to find that the grievances of the communities have nothing to do with the ward councillor. It's beyond the powers of the ward councillor. So support in a way that we have public meetings, we do civic education on how council functions and what is the role of the councillor.
Let's just take a call from one of our listeners, if you don't mind, Speaker. Siviwe in Naledi Extension 2 has been holding for us. Siviwe, what is your comment or question for the Speaker?
Yes, hello, Speaker.
Go ahead, Sphere.
Hi. I want to welcome this initiative that you're coming with. We know you since you are the MMC of Health, that you actually action what you're saying. I hope you're going to do that. We are experiencing problems on the ground. Sometimes I think councillors don't even know what to do, because they are part and parcel of problems that you experience. You see the service delivery protests about many things, including projects and so on. You see, councillors and meddling in all of those things that they shouldn't be. Councillors collecting CVs and profiles, councillors dividing the community, pitting community against community, councillor having his own group in the community and going against the others. So we've been experiencing bad things with these councillors. Even these things that you call development, that they come to our community, if they do not develop the people in the community, what is the point? How do you develop a community without developing the people that live in that community? So, Speaker, I'm calling to encourage you to continue with that program, but really workshop your country and protect us, ordinary people on the ground.
All right, Sibuwe, thank you very much for your call. Would you like to respond to that, Speaker?
Yes, thank you very much, Jen. You know, thank you for those comments. Sorry, I can't remember your name.
Sibuwe.
But correctly so, you know, when we talk about responsive public representatives, we talk about councillors adhering to the code of conduct. We have a code of conduct for councillors. So for us, it is to encourage our councillors to adhere to the code of conduct and also to have sequential actions where councillor is not performing, you know, because these councillors are coming from parties as well. So then, yeah, so there will be a process in terms of that, but we also saying part of the support is to remind councillors about the code of conduct that councillors are supposed to adhere to, and also encourage councillors to communicate with the communities. Because if we have constant communication with the communities, then communities tend to understand that you are on their side. You are the mouthpiece of the communities in government, and also giving feedback from government to the communities. You are not necessarily a plumber that when there's a pipe burst, then you must go fix it. But you are a mouthpiece, you are representing the community, making sure that the pipe is being fixed. If there's no electricity, you are not an electrician, you are not going to switch on the lights, because sometimes you also don't have it in most instances. But you are a voice of the people. So if people can just understand that working relationship, I'm sure we would have less problems.
All right. Thank you very much for speaking to us this afternoon. Speaker of Joburg Council, Nonneba Molwele, I see more of your calls coming in at this hour. Unfortunately, we're not able to take them because we've run out of time, but perhaps we can have a longer conversation with Nonneba in the future to just find out, once she has bedded down as the speaker, what she has achieved over a period of time.